Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky, and today we have Aryeh Lightstone, Rabbi Aryeh Lightstone, who is the NCSY Regional Director for the New York area and is going to be moving on to some exciting things, and maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on in the interview. But Aryeh, how are you today?
Doing very well. How are you?
Well, I am very well. Thank you for asking. So, you know, we're doing a big spread on Sandy and what happened, all the different ramifications. And you kind of look at it from a little different point of view because it's the more personal human interest stories. And I know that you've spoken to some of the people at the Jewish Action, and I know they'll be writing about some of those. So tell us about, I know you were telling us about, you say, three homes that almost became hotels. I mean, we know Aryeh lives in Woodmere, and I live in the community also, so we know each other well, and we saw all the acts of kindness that happened during Sandy. But there are particular heroes and heroines in this whole story. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of them?
If I can start just with really a personal note,
sure,
in terms of, you know, a little bit of personal heroism. My wife was expecting actually on the Tuesday of Sandy. Thank God she held out, and it's not because we didn't like the name Sandy per se, but Friday morning, with the assistance of Hatzalah, navigating the roads that were mostly closed, we got to the hospital okay, and had a healthy baby boy, and then with a Shalom Zachar plan for that Friday night, we still didn't have power in our house. Our kids were being watched by somebody else because the normal babysitter who would be helping wasn't able to make it to the house, and I showed up 45 minutes before Shabbos, and there's a Shalom Zachar plan a block and a half away. Our meals and my kids were taken care of and bathed and dressed and ready for Shabbos in a warm house, and we went to a house for the Shalom Zachar. They were only hosting 28 people for Friday night dinner, cleared that away, and put on a Shalom Zachar for 80, 85 people.
Wow.
With, 2 hours before Shabbos, no power, no anything, and they arranged everything. There was it was a little bit strange because normally these things, sort of involve like the family, and it didn't. And we're not the best of friends with the family necessarily. We're friendly, but it wasn't even a question. And just walking that night, if you remember, so there was blackness, which is where I live, and then there was the lit part of the neighborhood. And as I walked to the house that was hosting us for Friday night for the Shalom Zachar, leaving from dinner, there wasn't a dining room table that wasn't bursting at the seams. 20, 30 people at every Friday. If you had power, you were a restaurant that night, and it was just so beautiful to see. Particularly the house that we stayed at and had the Shalom Zachar at, they were hosting five different couples from the neighborhood, Farakway, Bayswater, who had just moved in. The concept of knocking on the front door was non-existent because you didn't know who was going to open it. It was literally, this was a community center in somebody's home.
Wow, unbelievable. No, there's no question. There have been great things happened, as far as bringing people together. So you were telling me, a little bit about some of these people. Who are they, and what did they do?
I'll use the word regular people, but it's clearly that, I guess, ordinary people who did extraordinary things. That's probably not the right statement. They're extraordinary people who, on occasion, I guess, do ordinary things. It was... one of the families that took us in on for meals during the week and made sure that our kids were entertained, there was a teacher who was trying to make it from Brooklyn to Halb, I believe, on a daily basis, and was concerned about the gas shortage. She wouldn't be able to make it to and from, so they moved in. She moved in with her husband and three kids into a family's house on Bryant so she would be able to teach kids in the neighborhood because they were concerned that she wasn't going to be able to make it back and forth with gas. And it wasn't even a question. I'm saying, okay, you can't make it. You're living it out. Well, you're living with us. It was just said so matter-of-factly, and the woman was astonished. She was, okay, but if I need to make it to school tomorrow in order to teach Torah to the kids, we're moving in. And she packed up her family, and they lived at the house for two or three nights.
Wow. Unbelievable. Fantastic. What were some of the others?
So some of the other very exciting things were, inspirational things were, when the other side of Peninsula, as we say, the other side, it's the side that I don't live on, the water came all the way up to and through the Youngsville of Woodmere, but the other side was, probably the hardest hit amongst Woodmere and perhaps of the whole five towns. The day after, Tuesday morning, I remember they were going out with boats and National Guard and the big trucks in order to go ahead and to evacuate people who couldn't literally leave their homes. And there was just a lineup of vans sitting there. It was like it was carpool from a school, but it wasn't. It was on Church and Peninsula, just waiting there. Because after the National Guard or Hatzalah dropped you off, they didn't bring you anywhere. And there were people waiting there with changes of clothes and with homes with hot showers and with places for you to go and stay. And there was a family, one family, and I don't remember the name right now, who had moved into the neighborhood maybe 6 weeks beforehand, did not have any immediate relatives, certainly didn't have access to a phone because it had died with power, and got dropped off because they had to leave the house but had no place to go. And people were almost fighting about whose house they were going to be able to take them to.
Wow, fantastic, unbelievable, incredible things. And what about the two people who work in your office, what they did, Yossi and Aryeh? Sounds like they were really superheroes.
This was, you know, we take it, I don't know if we take it for granted, but certainly prior to this we took it for granted. We're part of a big community, and when somebody needs something, somebody always steps up. But our guys in the field who are in public schools day in and day out develop relationships, and I always tell them that, you know, you are the person who wakes up in the morning and is their Jewish connection. They don't have a rabbi. Most of them don't belong to shuls. They don't have a student activity coordinator, a camp counselor. It just doesn't exist. You are the person who thinks of them from a Jewish perspective on a daily basis. And normally that means, okay, so, you know, what are they going to do in the summer, and can they be exposed to Torah, and, you know, how do they feel about Israel? And that's normally the checklist of what that means, is being their Jewish liaison. That changed overnight with the storm, and that meant, do you have heat? If you don't have heat, where's your family living? And if you're living at home, what are you doing for food? And Aryeh and Yossi, just yesterday we were reviewing, I think served somewhere over 180 meals just themselves to families individually. They either made or arranged families in our neighborhood to make kosher food for them and to bring it to their house for dinner. The kids ate at school because of whatever was provided in the cafeteria for lunch, but the family did not eat dinner if Yossi and Aryeh didn't drive to Long Beach and Oceanside to drop off dinner. It was on Sunday of this past week, they went and raised money internally in our office to buy a generator and heaters for a home where there was somebody who, for whatever reason, some form of disability, couldn't leave the house. It was set up for them. There was another place to go, but they were living there without heat. And they set up the way that way the house was still no lights, but at least would have heat in Oceanside. There was another student who the parents evacuated all their kids to various different family members, but when Oceanside High opened back up again, it was very difficult to make it from Park Slope, Brooklyn, to Oceanside and back and forth on a daily basis. So there was a family that we arranged, opened up their home, and our office takes turns driving carpool from Lawrence to Oceanside on a daily basis to make sure that it's only a 20-minute commute instead of a 2-hour commute.
Amazing. So what is it about? I mean, what do you think? I mean, what prompts people to just act this way? How do they have the strength to do this? So, you know, the vision to do this?
I don't know where the strength comes from. I mean, there were people who didn't sleep for 2, 3, 4 days while this was happening. Where the strength comes from, I've got no idea. The vision and the care, I think, has been nurtured, and it was not surprising the people who stepped up, and it was really a neighborhood, it was a community that stepped up, and this is a community that has a reputation for stepping up for others. You know, thank God this hasn't been a community that people have needed to step up for internally before, but when the time came, that's what people did. They rose to the occasion. Just difficult to articulate. I was sent by the OU and YU, however many years ago, to lead the Jewish response to Katrina, and I was down there with 80,000 people the second night in the Astrodome, and I was just overwhelmed by what needed to be done and how it could be done and how few of us there were in order to be able to help. And you sort of thought, okay, this is a chavaya, it's an experience. This isn't going to be relevant to you at any point in time. And then you went and you know, saw what Shari Yashiv did and saw what the Young Israel of Woodmere did and saw the meals being served at Beth Shalom and saw our guys and gals going out and delivering dinner and heaters and stuff like that. Without any of the organization, everything that happened in Houston, New Orleans was coordinated and organized by the government and whoever else it was. This was people just doing stuff because they wanted to do stuff.
Yeah, no, I think people just wanted, people who wanted to help. And the amazing thing I think about our community, Aryeh, was that so many of the people who helped were people who needed help themselves.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, that was really incredible to me. People whose homes, their own homes, were full of water. They had to evacuate their own homes, and they were the ones spending all their time helping other people instead of trying to just say, "Let me take care of myself." It was an incredible situation, one that I never saw before in my entire life.
If I can sing the praise of my wife for one moment, for numerous different reasons,
yeah,
but
please,
I'm only going to go into one.
It's going to be on the OU website, so it'll be, she can always listen to it.
So maybe my in-laws will hear this.
She could download it, you know.
But, you know, when faced with the prospect of returning from the hospital with a newborn baby to a house without power, you know, there were numerous people in the neighborhood who opened up their homes and said, "You can move in with us, no questions asked." And obviously it's a challenging time for the mother and a newborn baby. But as we were able to, and the neighborhood sort of pitched in to figure out how we can bring heat back to the house. We weren't able to get lights or any electricity, but we got heat to the house, so it was safe for the baby. So Esty, refused to go to another home because we had a home that didn't have damage. We didn't have power, but didn't have damage because there were people who really, really needed it. And she had every excuse in the world to be able to say, "No, we need to be in a place with lights. That's a normal thing for a newborn baby, and, you know, power and electricity and, you know, all these things." But there were, everybody else thought about, and I think was grateful, that the proximity to Thanksgiving I thought was very powerful. When you were grateful for what you had, there wasn't a single person I spoke to who didn't say, "Yeah, but I can't complain because look what that person has left."
Right. I think, you know what? I think you're absolutely right, which is I was always waiting for that one person who really had it the worst because because everyone I spoke to, no matter what their situation was, it was really an incredible thing when you spoke to people and you say to them, "So how'd you do during the storm?" They say, "Thank God we didn't have power for 2 weeks." It was like, okay, thank God, that's all. We didn't have power for 2 weeks because they themselves looked at other people in the community who, unfortunately, you know, some of them, you know, had major damage. Some today we know won't be in their homes for who knows how long, you know, and others may never go back to their home. And
right.
So everybody was saying, Baruch Hashem, for what I had compared to what everybody else had. It was an incredible, incredible time period in the five towns, Rockaway, you know, Bell Harbor, Oceanside, community. It was an incredible, incredible time. Well, let me ask you one other question, Ari, because you're a very smart guy. I mean, people maybe don't know you that well, but I do. So what's going to happen now? I mean, is this going to be just a little time when we get together because of all these terrible things? Or do you think there's a chance of making this into a springboard for something bigger? Or do you think it's really, unfortunately, going to dissipate once the problems start to evaporate?
I'm going to have a moment of optimism here. And normally I'm a little bit more pragmatic and dare I say cynical. I read a beautiful op-ed by Ben Brothman who commented that what this provided for us from an educational perspective was humility. And the gas lines didn't differentiate whether you were driving a Lexus or a beat-up Chevy. And whether you were rich or you were poor, you were chashuv or you were less chashuv, and whatever the category would be. And where the water went was completely and totally random. And when power turned on, it's not like LightBoy answered our phone calls anyway. So, you know, nobody knew. And there was tremendous, what could be perceived as luck of the draw, but I think was perceived in our neighborhood with the leadership that we have, rabbinic and non, as a tremendous enlightening experience, pun not intended in that particular case, it was very, very humble. And I think one of the things that draws us apart or has a tendency to pull us apart when it's more about me or it's more about I, but I don't believe I've ever been part of a community where it was more about we. And I think that there are bonds and relationships that were made that I think the next time, and there will be obstacles, and thank God, when there are obstacles, that means things are back to normal, and I think that's a great thing. But I think that people remember the houses that they went to when they were cold, the clothes that they wore when they didn't have, the value of a hot shower and clean laundry, and, you know, the ability to go to sleep and not be cold. And I think that those things will trump, and at least we're going to disagree. That's what's going to happen. But I think that we're going to do it more civilly. I think we're going to do it more with an eye. It's less about me, and it's more about what's better for the community. And I hope, you know, certainly and pray that that's going to be the reflection of our community moving forward.
Terrific, terrific. Well, listen, REA, thank you so much for being on the program and for what you did at NCSY and getting the kids involved and, you know, the different acts of chesed that we did at the OU and NCSY did and everybody else. So thank you very much. And mazel tov on the new baby. And by the way, you didn't name the baby Sandy, right?
No. We were there. There were numerous... numerous polls and offerings for that, but we decided that we love our child. Stuck with Simcha because the world needed a Simcha.
That's right. I agree with you. Amen. Can you hear what's on? Be well. Take care. So long. Bye-bye.
Thank you.